Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about how banks are ripping off students, sometimes quite legally, in the way student loans are packaged. Well, today we'll go to the other end of life. The Wall Street Journal has a front page story today about how insurance companies are trying to cash in on baby boomer anxiety about retirement and sell a lot of annuities to baby boomers who are at or close to retirement. So if this anxiety sounds like something you or your parents may be experiencing, check this out. With me now are Peter Cott, a principal at Cott & Company, a fee-only life insurance advising firm, and Daniel Gross, who writes the Moneybox column for Slate.com and contributes to the Economic View column of the New York Times, and he's the author of Pop, Why Bubbles Are Great for the Economy, published by HarperCollins. Daniel, welcome back. And Peter, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Brian.
Daniel Gross, what's an annuity?
An annuity is, it's sort of like a personal pension. You take a lump sum or you buy, you give the money to an effectively an insurance company or the annuity provider, a lump sum or a fixed amount, and they in turn promise to pay you a fixed amount per year for the rest of your life. So that dollar value could be, say, $30,000, $40,000 a year. Whatever the number is, they charge a fee to manage that. They take that lump sum into account as far as how much you can expect to get. And they pay that to you whether you live another 5 years or another 30 years. And sometimes, I'm sure Peter can elaborate more on this, there is a death benefit attached to it as well. But basically, it's a form of, I guess, what I would call income insurance. By buying an annuity, you are knowing that you will have a recurring annual income for the rest of your life, no matter how many years that is.
So, Peter Cott, tell me how close this is to accurate.
Well, I'm not sure that the article in the Wall Street Journal is really referring to that kind of an annuity. I write for the AAII Journal, the Journal of Financial Planning, and Forbes.com, and I have written about annuities a couple times in the last year, and the first one I did was sort of soup to nuts, where I looked at all the various type of annuities, deferred annuities, fixed annuities, variable annuities, and income or immediate annuities. And the article in the Wall Street Journal has me confused whether or not they are referring primarily to the income annuity, where, as Daniel says, you give them your money and they return income to you for life, or if they're referring to variable annuities deferred, in which the come-on is to do some sort of a calculation, a spreadsheet to show that it's, say, 10 or 12%. You can have all of this income, but you're not annuitizing it. You're taking withdrawals from the annuity, and there is no guarantee. Well, actually, they do have some guarantees, which have some risk involved in the guarantees.
Well, why would anybody? I mean, the way you make it sound right there, the first kind of annuity is much better for anyone than the second kind of annuity. Why would anyone go for the second kind?
Well, because the first kind of annuity that Daniel's referring to is living in a 4.5-5% world. I believe Axe and these other companies want people to believe that they can live in a 10-12% world. The fixed annuity, or the when you annuitize an income annuity, I did 2 days worth of number crunching for an article I did in AAII last month or the month before. And I found that the embedded interest rate is about 5.5%. To the extent that companies want to promote a higher return, they've got to go to variable annuities, and they're not going to be of the annuitized version.
All right, let me step back from this, because I think there's a lot of jargon here that's probably confusing people. Daniel Gross, the upside, to be very simple about this, is regular payments for life, no matter how long you live, and at a guaranteed rate, though that rate might be only 4 or 5%, that avoids the risk of stocks. In exchange for that, the insurance company gets to keep whatever principal you're investing. So maybe you're giving them $100,000 of your savings. You can't access most of that money, just what they dole out to you, but what they dole out to you is a certain amount of guaranteed interest. Is that relatively accurate?
Well, there are, you know, all sorts of hybrids and wrinkles and bells and whistles that I think do allow people to access funds or to choose to have funds left over as a death benefit. But what you're essentially buying with an annuity, I think, is peace of mind. In other words, you have a 401k and you have this, you know, amount that you've built up, and you're 65 and you're retiring. You don't know if you're going to live another 10 years, another 20 years, another 30 years. And if you say to yourself, I have this fixed amount, you know, that really complicates things as far as planning. An annuity, you are essentially, I think, paying and giving up some potential returns down the road for the peace of mind of knowing that regardless of what happens to your if you drop dead tomorrow or if you live 30 years, you can count on this guaranteed income, which, by the way, you know, increasingly fewer people are able to count on through the old-fashioned pension plans that are going away. And with people concerned about Social Security, which is the sort of national form of income insurance, you can see why this might have greater appeal to people.
Right. But, you know, I have only ever heard, Peter, and we can take phone calls from our listeners, your experiences with annuities, were they what you expected when you signed up for them? So maybe some older listeners who have actually been getting annuity income for some years, is this what you think you bargained for? Has it worked for you? Or anyone with questions for our guests, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your comments and questions on our website, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. But, Peter, I have only heard financial people I know who are independent trash annuities as nickel and diming you to death with fees, making the interest rates they promise much less than advertising. So who would you say...
That's why you have to sort out what kind of annuity you're talking about.
So who are they actually good for?
It's complex. The editor at AAII asked me to do the last column I did on immediate annuities because my clientele is very wealthy and we don't get into that kind of thing with them. So I spent 2 days cranking numbers. I went into the project thinking that an income annuity such as you can get from Vanguard or Fidelity without having to deal with salesmen, that it may not be such a good deal. Turns out that it really is a worthwhile to think about doing if you are willing to give up your principal for guaranteed income. And if guaranteed income is what you want to do, then an immediate or an income annuity works very well.
But this gets to the question of how much money you need to have for the annuity to amount to anything, right? If somebody has $100,000 in savings, that's a lot different than if they have $500,000 in savings or $1 million in savings. Right. In other words, that annuity income could be tiny, even though it's guaranteed.
Well, I understand that, but regardless of that, I'm dealing with conceptually, not the amount. Somebody who wants to guarantee income for life and is willing to give up their principal in order to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And wants the safety that they know that check is going to come in, assuming the insurance company does not become insolvent. An immediate or income annuity works very well, and it is very efficient. It's tax efficient, and it's very efficient.
Mike on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. I'd like the guest's opinion about what is a good underlying interest rate that one should demand if one is getting an annuity. For example, I can be offered a 7% annuity if I convert my retirement funds into an annuity using standard mortality tables. Is that good? What interest rate is good?
You're confusing deferred annuities with immediate annuities, and that's the problem with this article in the Wall Street Journal. I'm not sure what it is Mr. McDonald is talking about. Somebody who comes to you and is talking about a 7% in your annuity is talking to you about a deferred annuity. It's not giving you income. It's allowing you to have essentially a bank account that the earnings are tax deferred, and they're offering you a rate usually good for a year with large surrender charges. but we're talking past each other a little bit right now, because mm-hmm. that is distinctly different than an immediate or an income annuity.
Well, Daniel Gross,
you don't bargain for the rate on an income annuity. If you go online to Vanguard and you go through their little worksheet, you're going to tell them how much you're going to invest, your age, and so on, and they're going to spit back how much income they will give you. There's no negotiation. That amount will change maybe daily as their embedded interest rate in their immediate or income annuity changes.
Stefan in Queens, you're on WNYC with Daniel Gross, who writes the MoneyBox column for Slate.com, and Peter Kott, who is who runs a life insurance advising firm.
Hi, I'm calling. I mean, it's actually been really helpful so far, just even having the terms explained and everything. My mother just retired and has a pension fund that one of the options they've given her is taking an income annuity. And what I'm trying to figure out at the moment is how one even makes an educated opinion decision on whether, I mean, I know sort of I can't tell how long she's going to live and neither can she, but how one even decides, you know, is this particular annuity a good deal? Where can I even find out information about other choices? I mean, is it something I'd have to get an actual financial planner for, or can one sort of evaluate?
You can Google. The best places I think to go are Vanguard, Fidelity. They have online where you can see compare what one source is offering as a guaranteed income versus another source. One thing that your audience should keep in mind, and this is very important, if you're considering an immediate income annuity where you're giving up a principal amount of money, you're going to get back income for life. If you are in poor health, then you need to go to a company that will underwrite you, because they will then age rate that up. So let's say that you're 65 years old, but have diabetes. They may age rate that up to, let's say, age 70, and that will increase your income because your life expectancy is shorter. That's a very important thing to consider when you're looking at an immediate annuity.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. What was that called again? I'm sorry.
Daniel Gross, the journal article says the company AXA is making one of the biggest pushes around the globe. You're recommending Fidelity and Vanguard as sites that give pretty unbiased information. What should consumers beware of in advertising about annuities?
I think the important thing to keep in mind is, you know, you hear a lot of talk about we're in a low interest rate climate, even with, you know, interest rates having gone up a bit. The guaranteed, you know, the risk-free rate of return, in other words, what the United States government will pay you on a 10-year bond, is about 5.2% today. So that is the closest thing to an ironclad guaranteed long-term return that you can get out there. In prior decades, when that was much higher, you can get basically a risk-free return of 7-8% a year. That's realistic. So the expectation has to be set based on this sense that, you know, long-term guaranteed rates of return are pretty low, which means that if you want more than 5% a year, you either have to be willing to trade off more risk or biting into the principal that you have going forward. And I think that's, you know, something to kind of keep in mind as you are evaluating. If someone tells you, you know, well, I'm going to give you 10% a year, it probably means you're going to be losing some of the principal. If the more return you get, the more risk you have to take, and the more of your principal you have to eat into. And I think keeping that in the back of the mind is, I think, helped a little with the approach.
Arlene in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. I'm just calling to put in my limited experience. About a year ago, began to invest in AXA, which you just mentioned, and a couple of other similar. I'm doing really well. I've made almost 10% more, and it's a very, very good investment. But I want to say that the most important thing is to find a really good manager. I think that made all the difference for me. I'm investing with some place called Creative Retirement.
How is it paying 10%? Because what we've been hearing is that the trade-off is you get a guaranteed income, but it tends to be around 4 or 5%.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that means. That's why I heard him say that. I don't understand.
Ma'am, you're not getting income, are you? Aren't you investing?
I should say I'm investing. I'm not.
We're making a big mistake in this conversation, confusing the two. They're completely
mm-hmm.
different.
The two kinds of annuities.
They're not even in the vegetable family. It's meat and it's vegetables,
right,
what we're talking about.
So let me run another one by you, Peter, because I've seen advertisements for annuities that say you can get the gains of stocks if stocks do well with a guaranteed interest rate as a floor, like a 5% interest rate as a floor if stocks don't do well, and no risk of stock market losses.
Right. Those are called indexed annuities, and they create an image which my firm, in studying this pretty closely, has found is just simply not true. They pay very large commission to salespeople that sell them. They have very large and enduring surrender charges, and they are not returning, in our experience in analyzing them, they don't return any higher than an interest rate. So they've created the image of a high return with no loss, but there has been no high return.
Even if the stock market does do well?
That's right, because these things have very convoluted ways of calculating how they're going to take off the S&P 500 index, and then they can charge up to 500 basis points in expenses. And so we looked at one where in a year that the S&P went up 13%, it paid 4.1. And it was contractually, it was in the contract.
Wow.
It's just that nobody can read it. So.
Yeah,
I would tell you, from everything that we have seen and studied, nobody should ever buy an index annuity or an index for a life insurance policy. They are a mirage in our experience.
All right, here's another one for you, Peter, from an emailer who asks, how is this better than putting your money, and this for this he means the fixed income annuities that we were talking about, how is this better than putting your money in fixed income securities?
I'm not trying to understand the question.
Well, that's how he wrote it, but maybe I should ask it another way. How is this better than putting your money in fixed interest bonds?
Oh, okay. The article in the Wall Street Journal is talking about a variable annuity in which the investor can select from a variety of subaccounts and can move from one subaccount to another. The expenses are very high. There's a lot of bells and whistles with them. And in fact, I wrote about this in an article a year ago, and I got heavy criticism back in the Journal of Financial Planning. I got heavy criticism back from sellers of annuities. They really didn't like what I had to say. So I put it out to about six or seven very talented, sophisticated, fee-only investment advisors, and every one of them came back and ripped the peddlers. In other words, there's a big difference between people who sell for commission and those who don't as to whether or not variable annuities are a good thing to have. They're very expensive.
And here's a comment from the comments page of our website. A listener says, but isn't it true, Daniel, that if you invest $100,000, for example, in an annuity and then are hit by a bus in a year, your heirs will receive nothing? I believe you can protect yourself by going with an annuity with a death benefit, so I'd like to learn more about this type of annuity.
I think those are in the range of the variable annuities that are described in the journal piece. So, yes, I think there tends to be, and again, Peter would be
they do a death benefit. Some of them a high watermark, the highest you've ever had, but that's costing money. And by the way, it almost tipped over Cigna, and it caused a couple of companies to have to go to become acquired by other companies because they mispriced them. I noticed in the article, AXA's got 11 actuaries who are making sure that they don't tip their boat over. How many examples can we think of same bright people who tried to create these things where you're promising 10-12% in a 4% world and it does tip over? What was that company that just tipped over that was betting on oil futures? What was that large hedge fund company, Capital, what was the name of that place?
Amaranth. You mean?
Prudential PLC. There's a long list of companies who have tried to guarantee things that are that they're not actually investing in, mm-hmm. with all sorts of bright people hedging and trying to make sure that they could do it, and it didn't happen. I'm not saying Axe is going to mess it up.
Here's Jeff.
I'm just saying the fact that they've got 11 bright people, mm-hmm. trying to make sure they don't tip the boat over. These people cannot conceivably come up with all of the possible variations.
That's
so there's risks involved in the kind of investments that Axe is putting out there that have these very strong life guarantees, where they're saying you invest with us and your account can never go down. Well, Smith Barney in 2002 did a study on this and said these are more risky than when you're just guaranteeing the death benefits.
Jeff in Yorktown is an estate planning attorney. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, you know, I want to agree with Peter, because the issue really is, and the problem really lies in, the fact that clients really don't understand what it is that they're purchasing. I have a lot of clients who have invested in, quote, an annuity, but they really don't understand what they are giving up or what they're getting. When you're dealing with an income annuity, that's fine. You are giving up your principal, like Peter said, in exchange for a steady rate of return in the form of income. And for many people, whether it's because of retirement or because of Medicaid planning, that's a very, very good option. But for those people who are looking to make a killing by investing in their $100,000 in savings into an annuity, end up getting burned in the end, because either they don't get the rate of interest that they thought they would, or they are hit on these fees every year that take away from some of the benefits, or when they finally decide to get out, they realize they're paying 10%, 9% in surrender charges. So I want to agree with Peter that it really is a very, very dangerous topic for clients, but also we have to be very, very particular when it comes to making sure our clients understand exactly what they are doing.
Let me reinforce that. In the Wall Street Journal article, they use one example here where a guy in Britain bought an annuity from Canada Life, said he's 62 years old, Mr. Davenport. Doesn't say how old his wife is, but I'm assuming, let's say she's 62 years old as well. It's for their joint lifetime. And it says that he gave them $79,000, for which they're going to get $2,500 a year as long as they're alive. Well, if they're both in reasonably good health, they have a 26-year joint life expectancy. Okay? If you have a Hewlett-Packard or a financial calculator, it took me 4 seconds to figure out that the rate of return they're being promised on this is a minus 1.5%.
That's right.
Okay? Now, it also says that this is protected against inflation, but that's no big deal, because the insurance Canada Life, if Canada Life is taking in money and they can now buy investments instead of being 5% at 7%, well, of course they can pay out a little bit more. But just a reporter being able to do one quick little calculation on his example in the article, it shows that the world and our nation we're imbeciles when it comes to financial math, and that allows companies to really take advantage.
I agree.
All right, Daniel Gross, a last word on this before we go.
I just, you know, this clearly taps into the I think widespread and growing insecurity about the baby boomers' retirement. You know, that we've been told that we've got to rely on yourselves. We're the 401k nation. But your typical 401k of a person in their 50s has about $50,000 in it. Defined benefit pension plans are going away. We hear a lot of talk about Social Security being undermined. And I think in this climate, products that appeal to people by offering or seeming to offer security and a form of insurance will become more appealing. And, you know, on the one hand, that represents a market opportunity for the good people in this field, and it also represents an opportunity for the bad people in this field. So it's clearly something that people should, you know, monitor carefully and really tap into the advice of a trusted professional before doing anything on your own.
Okay. The article that inspired this discussion, front page story in the Wall Street Journal today, about how insurers are trying to cash in on retiring baby boomers or baby boomers close to retirement with a lot of anxiety about the future, pushing these annuities. And Peter Cott, principal at Cott & Company, a life insurance advising firm, and Daniel Gross, who writes the Moneybox column for Slate.com and is the author of Pop, Why Bubbles Are Great for the Economy. Thanks a lot for the advice.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, does The Sopranos ending seem any better to you now than it did 4.5 days ago? Stay tuned.